Deutsche Welle, Africa Link.
It's exactly 6 p.m. here in Bonn, Germany. Hello and a very warm welcome to Africa Link program. My name is Jen Nyingi.
And I'm Crispin Mukideo. Thank you for joining us on air and on our DW Africa Facebook page.
Yes, indeed. Coming up, Amnesty International accuses Cameroonian soldiers of carrying out human rights abuses on English-speaking citizens.
The video is really shocking because it shows the extrajudicial execution of two women and two children, very young children. And all of this strongly suggests that the perpetrators of the executions are the Cameroonian soldiers.
And Malawians are outraged after one British expatriate described a house help as a slave.
If he thinks we are still slaves in this age, then he should go back to his country. He has to go.
Well, these stories plus your take on them on social media shortly after we hear what has been happening around the world.
I'm Eunice Wanjiro with DW News. According to US President Donald Trump, the US-UK relationship is stronger than ever. President Trump was speaking after meeting with British Prime Minister Theresa May at her country retreat, Chequers. The US president backpedaled on his criticism of May's strategy for leaving the European Union. He had said it would kill any chance of a trade deal with the United States, but this is what he now has to say.
I also want to thank Prime Minister May for pursuing fair and reciprocal trade with the United States. Once the Brexit process is concluded and perhaps the UK has left the EU, I don't know what they're going to do, but whatever you do is okay with me. That's your decision. Whatever you're going to do is okay with us. Just make sure we can trade together. That's all that matters. The United States looks forward to finalizing a great bilateral trade agreement with the United Kingdom.
May, for her part, praised the strength of the US-UK bond, but she added this gentle rebuke.
Finally, let me say this about the wider transatlantic relationship. It is all of our responsibility to ensure that transatlantic unity endures, for it has been fundamental to the protection and projection of our interests and values for generations.
Thousands of protesters joined a women's march in central London on Friday against President Trump's controversial visit to the UK. He is due to begin his first summit with Russian President Vladimir Putin in Helsinki on Sunday. Cameroon's President Paul Biya, one of Africa's longest ruling leaders, announced on Friday that he will run again in October elections. Biya, who has been in power for 35 years, tweeted, quote, "Aware of the challenges we must take up together to ensure a more united, stable and prosperous Cameroon. I will stand as your candidate in the upcoming presidential election," end of quote. And still in Cameroon, a convoy transporting Defence Minister Joseph Betty Asomo was ambushed in the country's restive Anglophone region, leaving several attackers dead, state radio said on Friday. The ambush occurred in the heartland of an armed campaign to gain independence for the northwest and southwest regions, a predominantly English-speaking part of the country which has a Francophone majority. An explosion at a chemical plant in southwest China has killed 19 people and injured 12, according to state media. The blast happened in an industrial park in Sichuan's province's Yibin city. On Friday afternoon, it was still not yet clear what caused the explosion. This news comes to you from DW, Germany's international broadcaster. German authorities deported a former aide to Al-Qaeda chief Osama bin Laden to his native Tunisia on Friday, despite a court ruling blocking the move. The man, identified under German privacy laws as Sami A, was flown to Tunis on a charter aircraft and handed over to Tunisian authorities, a German Interior Ministry spokeswoman said. However, a regional court has said that he must be brought back as the deportation was unlawful. Eritrea's President Isaias Afwerki will visit neighbouring Ethiopia on Saturday, an official said on Friday. This will be the latest step towards peace and reconciliation between the long-time foes. On Sunday, Eritrea will reopen its embassy in the capital Addis Ababa, which has been closed since 1998. For more news and information, visit our website, dw.com. I'm Eunice Wanjiro.
You're listening to DW's Africa Link program. I'm Crispin Mwakideo.
And my name is Jen Nyinge. We are also live on our Facebook page, DW Africa. So please head there and engage us on the stories we are covering.
And now, not going anywhere. Cameroon's President Paul Biya has announced that he will seek re-election in the presidential election scheduled for October the 7th. President Biya, who came to power in 1982 when his predecessor Ahmadou Ahidjo retired, is seeking a seventh term in office that could see the 85-year-old rule well into his 90s.
The announcement comes at a time when investigations are being carried out on a video that has been circulated all over the social media showing two women and two children allegedly being executed by Cameroonian soldiers. Various right groups, including Amnesty International, have condemned the killings. I have been speaking to Ilaria Alegrozzi, Amnesty International Lake Chad researcher, and I began by asking her, what proof does Amnesty International have that the perpetrators are indeed Cameroonian soldiers?
The video is really shocking because it shows the extrajudicial execution of two women and two children, very young children. And we have been able to identify the perpetrators of this horrible act thanks to our sources on the ground. And all of this strongly suggests that the perpetrators of the executions are the Cameroonian soldiers.
And how certain are you that is the military involved? Because the government has already distanced itself from those claims. And even President Paul Biya has gone ahead and ordered an investigation.
Yes, we are sure that the perpetrators are Cameroonian soldiers, as the evidence provided in our press release shows. And the fact that the Cameroonian authorities dismissed the video as fake news is particularly shocking and simply doesn't stand up to our scrutiny, because we have provided credible evidence to the contrary. And I think that instead of making dismissive claims, the authorities should instead make sure that the investigation that they promised to open is thorough, is impartial, and is independent.
What action does Amnesty International intend to take if nothing is done by the government to prosecute those involved?
Amnesty International will continue to engage Cameroonian authorities in an open and frank dialogue, and will keep calling on them to comply with their international obligations to uphold human rights in Cameroon in the context of the fight against Boko Haram, in the context of the crisis unfolding in the Anglophone region, because Cameroon has an obligation under international law to promptly, impartially and independently investigate the allegations of human rights violations that also Amnesty International has documented.
Now, as you earlier indicated, your organization is very active in Cameroon. How would you describe the security situation with just a few months to the general elections?
The security situation is quite alarming. The Cameroonian security forces are deployed in two fronts, in the far north, in the fight against Boko Haram, and in the English-speaking region. So, like, there are basically two open military fronts at the moment. The number of attacks perpetrated by the armed separatists in the English-speaking region is increasing, and the response of the army has been brutal. So the situation is particularly worrying in light of the elections, which will be held very soon.
That is Ilaria Alegrozzi, Amnesty International Lake Chad researcher, giving her thoughts on a video that has been circulating all over the social media showing two women and two children allegedly being executed by Cameroonian soldiers. And there is a lot of stuff going on social media pertaining this video. What are people saying?
Right. On our page so far, there are comments on Paul Biya's candidacy. And one user calling himself Ambazonia Ancestors are observing says, Biya's candidacy, that is real witchcraft.
Ben Mensah from Ghana says this is unacceptable. He should be kicked out of the country right away. He should not be allowed to run again. African leaders must learn to step down from office when their time is up.
So keep those comments coming on our Facebook page. We'll read them when we do have the time. Now, let's go to Europe. And the big story here is the visit to the UK by US President Donald Trump. Tens of thousands of protesters marched through the London streets to express their displeasure of having Trump on UK soil. A giant blimp depicting an orange baby Trump was also flown around.
Well, during a joint news conference with the UK Prime Minister Theresa May, Trump was asked to elaborate on his controversial comment that uncontrolled immigration is changing the social fabric of Europe. This is what he had to say.
Europe is a place I know very well, and I think that what has happened is very tough. It's a very tough situation. I mean, you see the same terror attacks that I do. We see them a lot. I just think it's changing the culture. I think it's a very negative thing for Europe. I think it's very negative. I think having Germany, and I have a great relationship with Angela Merkel, great relationship of Germany, but I think that's very much hurt Germany. I think it's very much hurt other parts of Europe. And I know it's politically not necessarily correct to say that, but I'll say it, and I'll say it loud. And I think they better watch themselves, because you are changing culture, you are changing a lot of things, you're changing security. Look at what's happening. I mean, you take a look. I mean, look at what's happening to different countries that never had difficulty, never had problems. It's a very sad situation. It's very unfortunate. But I do not think it's good for Europe, and I don't think it's good for our country.
U.S. President Donald Trump. Now to Malawi, where angry social media users and citizens are calling on the government to deport a British national accused of racism. This comes after Michael Harper, a British expatriate, described Gloria Misesa, a Malawian house help, as a slave on a Facebook post.
Now, Harper, who has since apologized, was responding to a request by Misesa's current employer, who is moving back to Australia and wanted to assist Misesa find a new employer. Human rights activists are now encouraging Misesa to sue Harper. But as Miriam Kaliza reports, there are calls to reform Malawi's hate speech laws.
The social media storm started after a comment made by Michael Harper, a British national, caught the attention of many Malawians, including civil society organizations. Commenting on a Facebook page run by expatriates in Malawi, Harper had advised the Jean family from Australia why they could not take Gloria Misesa, whom he referred to as their slave, with them to Australia. Harper made the racist remark after the Jean family tried recommending Misesa to other expats since they plan on leaving Malawi. The victim in question, Gloria Misesa, says the remarks made by Harper made her feel less human in her own country.
It was like I was a slave in my own country, of which I didn't expect that. My boss was just recommending me to give me a job they are leaving, but the comment made by Mike Harper gave me a very sad moment. I was very sad.
Though Harper has apologized and his post has since been deleted, many Malawians are calling on the government to deport Harper. Here is Lilongwe resident Nison Piri.
If he thinks we are still slaves in this age, then he should go back to his country. If the situation was that we are in his country, that would have been at least okay. But to insult us right in our country, he has to go.
Malawi's Human Rights Commission instituted a public inquiry on the matter, which found that Harper's comment was a human rights violation against Misesa. However, Emily Banda, a member of the Professional Women Network, says the country needs to reform its laws on hate speech.
Much as we are not happy with the ruling or the verdict that has been given, but at the same time we understand that the Malawi Human Rights Commission was limited by the laws that we currently have as a country. And that's why I think in one of their recommendations, they have said that the Malawi Law Commission should ensure that there's a reform on that law, especially criminalizing hate speech.
Meanwhile, Ms. Gloria Misesa has been advised to seek legal remedies if she wishes.
Miriam Kaliza in Lilongwe with that report. And of course, it has solicited a lot of reactions on Facebook page. One from Niam Mba, who says, "Stop crying like babies, Africans. You are guilty of reducing yourselves to this level. Some of us even do worse than this British man. We traffic our own children as sex slaves in Europe, domestic workers to the Arab world."
Hard words there from Niam Mba. And Rogers from Southern Cameroon says he should be kicked out of the country because I think he's the real slave and he should leave to his homeland.
It's interesting, Nyingi, to hear such people who are invited to some countries and they're welcome and then they do insult the hosts as racist. But anyway, let's hope the right thing will be done in Malawi. Keep those comments coming in. and we'll read them whenever we can. In case you're joining us, this is DW's Africa Link. I'm Crispin Mwakideu.
And my name is Jen Nyinge. We are also live on our Facebook page, DW Africa. So feel free to drop us a line on the stories we are covering.
And coming up in the next 15 minutes, all roads lead to Moscow as the World Cup final match between France and Croatia beckons.
I have fans coming in. All of them are coming into Moscow ahead of the game. And I understand that tickets for that game on Sunday at the Luzhniki Stadium has been completely sold out.
Our very own Samson O'Malley is in Russia and we'll be hearing more from him.
But first, the UN Security Council has imposed an arms embargo on South Sudan. Nine countries voted in favor of the US-drafted resolution. Ethiopia said the timing was not right given the current ongoing attempts to revitalize the peace process.
The embargo takes place a day after South Sudan lawmakers unanimously voted to extend President Salva Kiir's term in office. The country's main opposition has criticized the move. And as DW's Wake Simon Wudu reports from Juba, opinions in the capital are divided.
The decision by South Sudan's parliament to extend President Kiir's mandate for another 3 years has elicited lots of reactions among the citizens. Majority of those who spoke to DW said they were against the extension.
I don't agree with it. This will not take us far. We need changes to be made. The citizens really need to elect who they really want to work for them. Every country has its own time limit of the duration for the president to live in that particular chair. So if your time has elapsed, then you can contest again. But for that, it will not take us far.
These 3 years may affect the ongoing the peace agreement, which is ongoing, that is in Khartoum. They should have waited until the government finishes the peace agreement. Then the parliament can push up or they can sit and come with a clear yes.
The move extends the current government's mandate until August 2021. While the main opposition party, SPLM-IO, led by Riek Machar, opposed the move, other opposition groups in parliament backed it. Gabriel Rorich Jur, chief whip of other opposition political parties in the parliament, described the vote as a move in the right direction.
The duration of the agreement is going to expire very soon. And if we don't do it now, the international community will learn on us that we are working illegally. For this one, I really appreciated it.
The bill is now on its way to President Salva Kiir's office for signing into law. South Sudan Justice Minister Paulino Wanawila, who tabled the bill 2 weeks ago, said the move to amend provisions of the constitution was to prevent South Sudan government from sliding into a power vacuum. South Sudan descended into civil war after Kiir accused Machar of trying to grab power. Last month, the two leaders signed a security deal in Sudan's capital, Khartoum. Previous peace deals have failed to end the fighting, which has killed tens of thousands and displaced millions. The UN Security Council has expressed deep concern over the failure of South Sudan's leaders to end the fighting and uphold any peace agreement. A UN recent report said that government troops killed at least 232 civilians in a 5-week period. The Security Council has now imposed an arms embargo on South Sudan.
Wake Simon Wudu in Juba. Crispin, I think power is so sweet because now Salva Kiir wants to extend his term for another 3 years. And we have also Mr. Paul Biya. He's 85 years old, but he still wants to run for presidency.
It is indeed. And we've seen this over and over that some leaders have even gone to the extent of wanting to change the constitution so that they can stay even longer in power. Although there is some positive change, but I think we still have the old guard who insist on retaining power.
But Crispin, at 85, if I was 85, I would take a rest. is the best time to rest.
Well, tell that to Mr. President Paul Biya. Anyway, let's move to our Facebook page here and some acknowledgement for a few people who are, well, not a few, but lots of people are on our Facebook page listening live to this show. We have Mariam, who says she's listening from Nigeria. We have also Joy from Uganda. Nacha Jesed Zama, who says something is very wrong with Africa. Something is missing in our brain, just what we've been talking about. So keep those comments coming. And as I said, we'll read them when we can.
African Roots, the researchers.
Today on African Roots, we feature Herbert Harald Ndomba, a Tanzanian researcher advocating against negative portrayal of Africa. Ndomba says he felt the need to tell the outside world the African history, which is rarely covered by both the social media and mainstream.
Well, he got a three-year scholarship sponsored by the Gerda Henkel Foundation based here in Germany to study in South Africa. DW's Yulia Yaki caught up with him, and her report is presented by Selone Eko.
Herbert Ndomba is not only an expert on Tanzanian history, he can now also put doctor in front of his name after successfully defending his dissertation at Stellenbosch University in South Africa. Ndomba researched tobacco production in southern Tanzania, a topic which he says is close to his heart.
This was given little emphasis by the historians and even by the agroeconomists, even the area itself. The Ruvuma region, which is found in the southern part of Tanzania, has been given little attention in terms of scholarship. So I decided to write something about small-scale tobacco farmers, that their voices could be heard.
Ndomba is the first to compile a history of tobacco farming in Tanzania from its very beginning to current times. But why should anyone care? History is an important tool, he says, to make future political decisions.
History is important because it helps us to understand the past. So without knowing the past, it will be difficult, for instance, a country to know specifically the dynamics, socio-economic and political dynamics, which happened in the past, which are existing, and the way forward.
Especially when it comes to Africa, Ndomba feels that historians have an important task to fulfill.
I have a duty of rewriting, reproducing the history of various issues, various dynamics, to explain that Africans, like any other societies, have been developing.
Considering the importance of history, Ndomba hopes that the labor market will be more welcoming towards historians in the future. Today, chances of securing one of the scarce university posts are slim, as the humanities don't have a strong lobby. While many parents don't support history as a career choice, Ndomba's parents reacted differently.
My parents and even the village at large, they are very proud of me because by getting PhD in history, it is a success, not just for me, but also my village men, because I'm the first PhD holder in the village. So right now, they are celebrating that even their village can produce a PhD material.
There is a lot to celebrate for Herbert Ndomba indeed. Enough to let him breathe for a moment before taking on the challenging task he chose for himself.
That report was compiled by DW's Yulia Yaki.
And now let's move to the world of sports. After more than a month of World Cup action, 62 matches and many incredible moments to remember, we are down to two teams, France and Croatia. DW correspondent Samson O'Malley is in Moscow, where Sunday's final will take place. He's been describing the mood to me ahead of the match.
You know the popular Red Square, where the Kremlin is. It was a beehive of activities, as virtually all the fans from all the other venues of the 2018 FIFA World Cup are trooping into Moscow, the capital, in their numbers. I have fans coming in from Sochi, coming in from St. Petersburg, from Nizhny, from Samara, from Kazan. All of them are coming into Moscow ahead of the game. And I understand that tickets for that game on Sunday at the Luzhniki Stadium has been completely sold out. And so we're expecting that we'll have a capacity crowd at the 2008 final that will take place at the Luzhniki Stadium in Russia. Around town, we have fans from Mexico, from Argentina, from Peru, from Bolivia, Bulgaria. Everybody seemed to be in town. Nobody seemed to have left. And you do know that the English team, which had a game a few days back here in Moscow, also had fans coming in. So Moscow is a beehive of activity. It's the best place to be right now. If you're a sports fan, if you're anywhere else, you're missing out on the action.
Wow, excitement in the air there in Moscow. Mm-hmm. Now, presumably, most of the African fans who are there in Moscow would be supporting France.
Absolutely. You know that they have nicknamed the French national team as the African Union. That's what the fans here are beginning to refer to the national team, the Bleu of France. So a lot of them are supporting, of course, the French national team, because you also have a lot of the immigrants who make up the national team, from Lukaku to Matuidi, and so many of them. So it's obvious to say that most of the support will go to the French national team. But that's not to say also that for the Croats, they have a large, sizable number of fans who are already in town. At the last game they had with England, the stadium was the red and white. And so it's going to be quite an interesting way to see how both fans are going to roll. But for the Africans, definitely they are putting their money on the French national team.
And what about the third place match between Belgium and England? How much of an excitement is this match causing in Russia?
Because of the two teams involved, it's somehow being overshadowed by the finals on Sunday. And because it's not happening in Moscow, it's happening in St. Petersburg, a lot of the fans are putting their attention more on the game in Moscow. But that's not to take off the fact that the game in St. Petersburg tomorrow, Saturday, is not something to look out for. Of course, you have England, you've got Belgium, who are going head-to-head, and a lot of them want to settle scores. You do know that in the group stages, Belgium defeated England, and so England is going to come out all out to see how they can pick up, at least the bronze medal, to at least, if the football is not coming home to England, at least the bronze medal is coming back to London. So I think there's a whole lot of excitement around that game also. Roberto Martinez, the coach of the Belgium national side, has been speaking, and he also has something to prove. And Gareth Southgate will also want to tell us that, hey, look, man, I went out of this competition not because the team that we have is not as good. And quickly to add, Crispin, is the fact that you know that the England national team is being referred to as the younger generation of English players. And for the Belgian team, they are called the golden generation. So we're going to see how the mix of the golden generation and the younger generation will come out at the end of 90 minutes on Saturday.
Samson O'Malley in Moscow. And Nyingi, you can bet that I'll be watching the game on Sunday.
So where do you put your money, France or Croatia?
Well, I'll just tell you this, may the best team win. Well, everybody's about, well, France is more like it, but I'm for the underdog. I prefer the Croatians.
I'll go for Croatia.
That they do win. Now, let's move to the Facebook page. A lot of comments on the Paul Biya story that he's seeking again re-election. He's 85 years old. And as we said, he might be 90 by the time he retires, if he does. One comment, very interesting, from Charlie Brown. He says, did French President Macron not speak with Biya a few days ago? So who says the French are not the ones making decisions in Cameroon?
And we have this one from Sherry Agi. She says Paul Biya protected himself by changing the constitution. And that is what most African leaders have been doing.
And Wonja Wonjambua says this Paul Biya needs to be taken to the ICC in The Hague.
But John Omarau says our problem in Africa is our leaders.
Right. And Breezy Gilbert says Paul should simply go.
And for Gislen, he says whatever is happening in Cameroon is a genocide.
So not so many supporters of President Paul Biya outside of Cameroon from those comments that we have heard. We have another one from Domingas Miguel who says, just like Dos Santos from Angola, these are the kind of men in Africa who embarrass Africans.
And Danny from Texas, he says Paul Biya is a disgrace to Africa. And he goes ahead to say, what is this? A big disappointment to humanity.
And last but not least, Perpetua from South Africa, he says Biya is a greedy hypocrite and bloodthirsty. What a shame for this old man.
Those are your comments, so keep the conversation going on our Facebook page, DW Africa. My name is Jane Nyingi.
I'm Crispin Mwakideo. Thank you for listening. Bye from us.